Welcome back to Radio 74. I'm Mario, the Artisan Rogue. Okay, so, you know, it's been such a weird set of days for me. Just, you know, okay, here, let me get started like this. So, over the last couple months, I've been going through a lot of transition and stuff, and, you know, it's been kind of a weird time for me because, while, you know, freelance and stuff like that has been a little bit more on the low end for me, and, you know, I've been going through some really difficult times in the fact of, you know, not only creative block, but trying to find the, what I would perceive as inspiration to keep on creating and keep on doing things, but not just that, even trying to find a good direction for the energy to expound upon. Now, I noticed that one of the things, and this is kind of a side note sort of story, but one of the things is that whenever I had started teaching recently, just part-time, I had started noticing that with a lot of kids, you know, today, which any of you that are around kids, have kids, you know, maybe are kids, there's a huge drive toward what social media means. And the wonderful part about social media is that it can generate some really wonderful responses and interactions and discovery. But just like any aspect of the internet, there's plenty of bad things that go hand in hand with it as well. Now, I can't speak for anybody else on this, but even today I found myself arguing online of all the stupid things that, you know, never in my wildest dreams when I was younger and I first fell in love with the very first computer I ever saw, it was in third grade, did I ever think I'm going to spend time on that computer and spend it arguing with people over things from political standpoints to you name it. And I got to thinking that, you know, I'd seen a few other people on YouTube and stuff that had made videos about limiting your time on social media and, you know, and if not, just completely taking a break from it. The crazy part is, you know, that I do honestly believe that as a, you know, as a working artist, as somebody who's trying to make it in the field further and further, you kind of this weird balance where on one side, you want to be able to promote yourself. You want to be able to put stuff out there and have people see it, and you want to be able to share videos and artwork and all these other sorts of things, and that's great, and that's actually really wonderful. And there's plenty. YouTube has shown that there's a lot of really good things out there, but there's also a lot of really terrible content as well. And I know that for myself, sometimes there's two edges to this sword, and both of them can be negative and positive. For me, on one side, the really crazy part has been that I've managed to, you know, interact and meet with many, you know, like-minded and even, you know, differing opinioned people over the years, and that's always been a wonderful thing. But one really strange part about all this is that even in doing so, I end up doing exactly what I tell a lot of my art students not to do, comparing myself to what others have accomplished, what they've done, where they are in life, all of these things. Now, sometimes I can find that inspirational. I mean, I follow people, you know, from like Donato Giancola and, you know, LeVar Burton and, all, you know, people in different, who are artists, actors, creators of all kinds. And the reason I do that is because of the fact that whenever I see their stuff, I do get a good bit of influence and inspiration to want to go forward and create my own stuff and rise above where I am right now in life and keep going forward. But that's not really where the issue for me lies. My issue might be, even amongst people that I know marginally or that I've met at shows or that I know really well. Now, you know, we're social animals by nature. And I know that, you know, whenever people go to things like, you know, student class, you know, reunions and stuff like that, or maybe you just run across somebody you hadn't seen in a long time, or, you know, whatever, of course, you know, some of the first questions are like, hey, how's it going? What have you been up to? Oh, that's great. That's great. And we feel a compulsion. I imagine most of us do. I know that I do. You know, a bit of a compulsion to say, well, I've been doing this, and I'm still active in art, and it's almost like I'm trying to convince myself that I'm doing impeccably well at something, when in reality, you know, I have my successes, but there's a lot of times there's downtimes or there's, insecurities creeping up or fears, all of these things. Now, at the same time that it's not a great thing to go out there and suddenly, you know, become this this walking case study and start putting out all of your fears out there for people, you know, right when you see them, because that would be a pretty bizarre interaction. I also think to myself, like, how much more refreshing would it be if people could be honest about how they are on things? And sometimes you can find online conduits for that. You can find, forums and other websites and Facebook groups and Twitter followings and stuff that will adhere to those, you know, factors. And a lot of times you get people coming out and saying things like, you know, I have had a pretty terrible art show run. I've had, you know, bad interactions with people. My artwork isn't going well. Maybe, you know, whatever the case might be, with just as many stories of, man, I had a really good show, or, wow, I love the fact that this new stuff, this new jewelry, or this new artwork, or this new book that I just wrote and illustrated went over well. And those are always inspiring to see. But sometimes the vitriol, the anger, the frustration, and the animosity can build to, you know, an unending highs. And that happens whether we're talking about political stuff or, you know, religious or whatever the case might be. And sometimes I find myself, you know, I've had friends that have taken breaks from being on social media, and I very much have done that in a lot of respects. My main conduit really is through Twitter, and at least that one I can kind of segregate myself a little bit in my interactions because of the fact that, you know, you're limited, and who really wants to carry on an argument one sentence at a time, you know? And so a lot of times I'm able to just refocus myself and stay away from anything else. It's probably one of the reasons that I've never really even wanted to get on Instagram or Pinterest or anything else like that, because that's a lot more time that I could have spent either creating or doing some stuff on my own. And not to say that there isn't anything that can be gleaned from those sort of websites that aren't good, but, you know, they're also things that take up time. And I have a bit of a premium on time because, you know, with the little bits of freelance that I have been having coming in and working on my own things, from trying to keep up with website updates and create content for YouTube and, you know, got, you know, trying to remember to find something to talk about for this, you know, this podcast radio program that I do, it's been a challenge. And, you know, it's been a trying last few weeks, really a couple months, because, you know, after I got let go from my last job, I kind of floated in limbo for a while. And I think I'm now up to, because I just sent out some resumes not that long ago, I think I'm up to something like just shy of 93, 94 resumes that have been sent out. And this is like in just the local Kansas City area. And I reapplied to old places that I worked, from Hallmark to others. And, you know, and it, sometimes that kind of takes its own toll that I have to deal with, because, you know, when you're getting back things like, well, we've decided to go with another applicant, or you just don't get any kind of response, it's always disheartening. You start to question, you know, things that you're doing. And that's enough of its own challenge to try and overcome without going out onto social media and consistently comparing yourself to what other people do. Now, in reality, I do dare say that a good portion of what people will see of another person's profile is usually just 5 to 10% of what that person is actually like and what they do. And it's so wonderful and great to see all these sort of things proliferate for these other individuals and see them triumph and have fun and live this lifestyle where they're like, you know, and depending on how you're seeing it, you're probably thinking, oh my God, this person's always well-dressed or looking fantastic, or, you know, you could sit there and say all these sort of things. But I'm willing to bet that, and this is not something out of spite, this is something out of reality, because I have followed other people that ran Instagram accounts and Facebook pages and stuff that are maniacally manicured. They're very much, I've read articles where they interview these people, and the reason that sometimes they're able to do these things is because they'll pick up sponsors, or they'll make a choice that, hey, I'm going to save up money and do this. Or maybe, you know, they had opportunities that others didn't to a certain degree. But to keep a lifestyle like that going where, you know, it's van life or, you know, on the beach or, you know, consistently, you know, cosplaying or whatever you want to say, you know, to do that all the time and do it well and do it where you're not just having fun but also making a living at it is extremely difficult. There's very few people I know, and even in the art world, fantasy and sci-fi and concept artists in particular, you're either working for game companies or you're working as much freelance as you possibly can, and even then, many of them still have day jobs, night jobs, weekend jobs, or other things they do to bolster what they do. I mean, honestly, as much as I've been trying to work on stuff on my own, I still have two jobs I do. I teach, and I also work a few days during the week. And, you know, you have to try and find a way to look at it and go, you know, all right, I've got this that's going on. I'm getting bills paid. I'm making ends meet where I can. But, man, I really wish I could do what some of these other people are doing and have this great lifestyle and have all these other things. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's not going to happen that way. It won't. And I know for myself, it was a journey of discovery to figure that out. I mean, one of the craziest parts, too, has been, you know, as much as I've done shows, you know, here's a reality check for a lot of people, because I know that I recently had gotten some emails and stuff like that. I addressed one of them in particular in my last vlog entry on YouTube, but some of the things that I get asked a lot are, you know, when do you know that you can quit your day job and you just keep on doing things, you know, for art and all this other stuff? Truth is, you probably can't do that. I mean, I've known guys that have worked for, you know, some of the big three comics and stuff, and even they need to do other stuff on the side because paychecks don't always come in when they're supposed to, projects may shut down suddenly, you know, just stuff can happen. I mean, just as much as real life can affect and take you out from doing a hobby you love, or trying to do a secondary business, the same thing can happen the other way around. And so I think that the biggest thing you can do is stay with it as much as you can and make sure that you always have a backup plan. But even then, you know, I found myself where, because of social media, I end up either wasting time on it or, you know, deliberating with people or just reading things. And, you know, that may put a lot of self-doubt into my own head. And that's not great. That's not at all what I had hoped to glean from that. And so, I guess part of this is, you know, I guess I could answer that for myself and saying, you know, do I need to go as far as like downloading an app that would restrict me from accessing social media sites? Would I need to, you know, think more preemptively and just manage my time better? Would I need to maybe throw myself into an endeavor and organize myself much better to get multiple things done? Because here's one of the things, and I've said this before, I am a horrible, horrible multitasker. I cannot do it. I'm not very successful at it. I'm easily driven to distraction. And one of the things I found is that if I can, myopically focus on one thing, I will be fine. And I can do that to a wide degree. And I've been trying to quote-unquote multitask, but to me, I feel that things end up suffering. I know there's examples that can differentiate on that. Like, if I'm rendering videos or after I've finished editing something, I will take the time. I've kind of got my studio set up in a way that, like, I have this little bullpen-like pulpit. I'm actually sitting and recording this podcast. So, and I can probably do a video of this later, but as an example, I'm sitting here, my computer is right in front of me, I've got my mouse, you know, and then I've got this dual screen setup that's actually on a metal riser arm, and it's holding both of them up. I've got a lot of my art supplies around me, I've got my filing system right next to me, I've got my drawing table over here to the left of me. On my right is where I've got some other stuff on the walls and things, but I recently installed this I repurposed this IKEA thing, and it was I think it's the Calyx, but it's the kind that's a single row with like four actual things, storage areas in it. Clearly was not meant for the install that I did, but I very much did a hack that I saw on Reddit. So I guess there's an instance of where social media certainly did me some good. And I managed to put in enough supports and, you know, drill into the wall in the right areas where the studs were and everything and mount the thing up perfectly. And because, like, I needed something more. I needed, as much as I hate to admit this, one of the places that I managed to do the best amount of organization and keeping things all intact was when I was working at Hallmark. Because, and in the group that I worked in before they were dissolved, we still had old-style cubicles that that we could utilize and put together and do all these things with. And maybe I will make a vlog that covers some of this, because I know that that sort of thinking transferred over for me. And so what I've done is I can't physically rise to the occasion and always overcome what I'm going through, but I can try and make things be readily available for me to work on when I finally get through that funk, when I finally get through that low spot. And there's a few things that I do to do that. I mean, my studio in general is very much something that I had been planning out for many years, but I knew that the focal point was going to be where I sit. And so there's a few things, like I'd already talked about, you know, that I've also done beyond that, that allow me to be as, you know, as process-driven as I can be, and to a certain degree, multitask oriented. And I mentioned, like, if I'm rendering video or working on something that, you know, there's going to be some save times or some render times or something like that, I can let that run. At the same time, I've got the current book that I'm reading, which I actually just finished last night, which was As You Wish by Cary Elwes, and I have been really hesitant to finish it because the book was so damn good. And if you haven't picked this up, it's his wonderful story about the making of The Princess Bride. And my God, I mean, I know Cary had come to Kansas City, I think it was 2 years ago, to Planet Comic Con, and I really regret not having gone that year and met him. He's always been a huge, you know, inspiration to me as an actor, and just as an overall person, you know, just in interviews that I've seen with him and stuff like that, he just seems like a genuinely nice fellow. And even the way that he wrote this book was so absolutely humbling and amazing to see it through his eyes. So, I mean, if you get a chance and you haven't read this, it's a quick read. It's not a whole hell of a lot of pages in it. It's probably maybe 240 pages, and some of those are like color photos and things. But anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. You know, I keep books like that nearby because those are things that I've always got. I keep, you know, a crap ton of blank paper and note paper and stuff. I have over here on the side, what I call, and it's not a popular thing, but it's where I keep my, I call them like basically fidget toys. I have one here. This is one of the things, this is actually one of the few really cool things I love from Hallmark. It's this stress button that I have, and I don't have it on all the time, but it says, you may file when ready. And it's a quote from The Empire Strikes Back. What it is this little green colored, which green and black, you know, my colors. You push it and it'll do different... Oh, I didn't know it blew up like that. It does different sound effects from Star Wars in there. And there's a couple of different ones, but it's just like a little stress thing. So if you're really feeling angry, you know, you can press it down a couple times. And then I've also got, it's one of those plasma balls. And so with the plasma ball, you can kind of touch your fingers all over, and it has a little electricity. I've had that thing for years. I can't believe it hasn't burned out. I may have just jinxed myself. And then my ever-trusty Rubik's Cube, which has been with me at every job that I've had in, like, the last probably 6 years. And I've only ever managed to finish one or two sides. Right now, currently, the white side is finished. But the part about it is that, like, I like that I can sit here when I'm having a thought process. I can quickly reach over and grab one of these. And I also have a fidget cube and a spinner. The spinner was actually a gift from from another teacher. It was a Batman fidget spinner, and that was really cool. And then there was a really cool Kickstarter for something called the Fidget Cube, and I got the Kickstarter exclusive, which happened to be green and black. And I carry that with me on occasion, but I keep it down here as well, too. The reason for that is because, like I mentioned before, I am easily driven to distraction, and a lot of times that's from either things that I'll see online or fret about, whether, you know, it's things that affect the art world or just, you know, society in general. And sometimes I need just a little bit of a catharsis or a little bit of a nuanced thing that I can focus on that will allow me to recalibrate my thinking and get back in the zone. I also have a digital frame, and this is something that, you know, probably seems a little passe or weird. I happen to like digital frames. Mine's a little older one, so it doesn't play video and stuff, which I actually kind of prefer it that way, but this one's got a slew of different photos on it, and I mean, it goes all the way back to when I was, you know, a kid in Arizona, to when I worked at Shark Bar, to, you know, other places I've worked, travels, trip, stuff like that. And the reason I did that was the same reason that I've carried this frame with me to every job and put it on my desk. I want there to be a little bit of inspiration showing, here's some of the things you've done, man. Now, where are you going next? What are the rest of the photos going to look like? So it's kind of like, you know, a virtual scrapbooking sort of thing. And I know that a lot of people will put photos on there and try and do that sort of stuff too, because they want to see them. And that's very much that for me as well, too. But I have things in there like, you know, past flowers and gardens and things that I've grown, to friends, family, and, you know, pets, you know, that I don't even have anymore, and, you know, adventures and places and things I've seen. And during the days that it's like tonight, where I'm, you know, up late at, you know, well, not late, but at 9, 12 p.m. recording this podcast, I can sit over here and, like, the picture that's on there right now is of my bird feeder that had some cardinals, a male and two females, and then it transitions over to some guys and ladies from Shark Bar. And I think about those moments, and I found that when I start to put these things out, and that's why I'm such a nerd about this, but I take photos everywhere. I take photo and video of a lot of things. And not because I want to be voyeuristic, but because I understand and know enough about how I can react to other things when I'm feeling low and down. And if I can photograph, more importantly than videotape, things that make me happy or that inspire me, and then I can go and put them on this digital frame, just turn it on. At first, it can seem a little bit overwhelming, you know, because, like, I've got pictures of some of my pets that have long since passed on, or even older family members like my grandmother and stuff like that that aren't around. Sure, it can be a little overwhelming and a little sorrowful at first, but I also know that the really good thing about it is that I feel like every time I look at it, I'll see something that's familiar, that's happiness, that's conducive to better thought processes, and gets me into a better thinking process. I mean, let's be real, there's a lot of reasons in this world to get mad about things. I mean, you don't have to go that far, whether you're on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, whatever, you know, place you go to get your interactions. There's always going to be good things. I mean, thank God there's millions and millions of cat memes and all that kind of things out there. And there's some great stuff on YouTube, and there's great interactions on Twitter. But there's, as we all know, some really bad stuff. And it gives everybody an opportunity to either be really engaging and constructive and supportive, or you can just be a pretty terrible person, and, you know, maybe it brings out the worst in you. So I try and create a place, and I've been very lucky. I mean, I've waited many years to get a studio where I felt like, okay, this is mine, where I can set up stuff, where I can have things laid out how I'd like, for the most part. And again, I've mentioned this in other vlogs, but the studio is not finished. You know, it still needs a lot of work and things, but the majority of it is there, and it does make me happy to see a lot of things I own. And I have a crap ton of things in here, from my Lego collections to my giant Pacific Rim Jaegers to my old SCA armor to, oh, let me see here, collections of books from Warhammer to D&D manuals to my Dragonlance novels to my Sega Master System games to a ton of board games from Stratego to other independent release ones, my DVD collection. What else have I got here? Art supplies everywhere. The rest of my recording and camera gear that I use. And then on this side over here, art paper, my comic collection, my guitar and amplifier, just my very, very prized Tron Daft Punk poster that glows in the dark. You know, and then just on and on. Things that, like, over the years I've had in storage and collected and things. And, you know, here's the crazy thing. When I was younger, I was pretty much that materialistic 80s kid. And I found joy in these things because they represented moments and times in my life that I somehow knew back then would be important to me. And I never really engaged or dealt with people directly very well. I've mentioned this before that I'm very much an introverted person, but I will be extroverted if I have to, and unfortunately many of my jobs have called for that, including being a comic artist. And the crazy part about it is that I have found that all of this is more than just stuff. It's, you know, a lot of time of memories and keeping things and holding on to things. And it's been invaluable for me because I know that, you know, when times get really tough, sometimes it just takes something as simple as, you know, like, I recently bought these two dice the other day. I went to a little bookstore in Warrensburg, and the really cool thing about these were, you know, they're black and green, which of course are my signature colors, and they're these beautiful little 20-sided die that I'm going to add these to my other dice collection. And just holding them in my hand, making that noise right there, and rolling them around is calming. And I bought them specifically for that reason, to add to my little collection of stress toys, stress management things. And I think that the positive that can be taken out of this is you don't have to necessarily go materialistically. There's a lot of other things you could do. But for me, that's how I managed to overcome aspects of what I see online, and even what I see myself become. Because there's times, too, whenever you can get so inundated with the bullcrap that you either read online or you hear it maybe at a job or something like that, and then you just want somewhere that you can get away and you can do that. And it doesn't have to be, and I'm not saying you have to build your own man cave or, you know, a studio or whatever you want to call these things. Not at all. I'm saying that maybe it's finding something that allows you to cope. Another friend of mine, she consistently reads a lot of books. And, I mean, like, to the point where she's always carrying it around. And I'm not even talking, like, on an e-reader. She is specifically very much locked into, I love carrying hardbound books because it's this book that I can hold. It's and I loved the description she said, which very much inspired a character in one of my comics. And she said, it's really funny, too, because her husband was like, yeah, that's totally what it would be. She views a book in front of her as her shield against the world. And I love that. I love that description so much because it is that. I mean, and it's true. I'm not knocking people that read on e-readers. You could view it the same way. But there is something luxuriantly just deliciously wonderful about flipping the pages of a book and feeling like I'm now encompassed in this. I mean, I felt that way when I read my very first children's book, you know, as a kid, which was about dinosaurs, and then my all-time favorite one, which is the other book I keep right here in front of me all the time, Bill Peet's The Wump World, which I finally managed to locate in hardcover edition. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you, you know, for her, it's very much, can I throw myself into a book and just forget about the day for even an hour, half an hour, whatever. Her husband, on the flip side, is very much somebody who armors a lot. And I learned quite a bit of armoring from him, and I remember how cathartic it was. And it's one of my other goals is to eventually, you know, get a small area that I can start working on plate mail and creating helms and elbow cups and van braces and things like that. Because even though my gear always was about munitions grade level, I'm certainly nothing like some of the masters or anything that you're going to see in the Tower of London's armory. But it was cathartic and it got stuff out. And I felt like at the same time that I was getting all that stress and stuff out, I was still being creative. You know, and it doesn't always have to be that either. It can even be being as active and progressive in what you do on a daily basis. I try and go into work when I work at the Arrowhead Stadium with a fairly positive attitude. I want to go in. I want to make sure that, hey, you know, we may have some problems, we may have some issues, but I'm going to be as positive as I possibly can. Why? Because it makes sense to do that. And even when I worked at Hallmark, which, you know, in complete and total transparency, there are some beautiful and wonderful people that worked at that place. Many of them whom I've gotten to know after I left Hallmark and ran across other Hallmarkers in other areas. And I very much enjoy their friendships and things that have grown from there. And in a weird way, can still thank Hallmark for that newfound camaraderie. But even when I worked there and I would deal with things like, you know, passive aggressiveness or just, you know, even the whole oddball intra-office sort of like bickering and oddness that would happen there. And I mean, Hallmark was just one example. There's a ton of them out there like that. Other companies from Sprint to Walmart, you name it. It's corporate America and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't, then go watch Office Space. But, you know, you can find ways to take care of that. And all of that stuff also can play out on social media, too. It's one of the reasons why, like, I'm a firm believer in the fact that, like, even when I have a LinkedIn profile, and when I'm on there, I'm very careful, like, I'm going to keep this business-oriented and art-oriented and that sort of thing. Why? Because a lot of businesses want to see what you're all about. And so I've also managed to keep my Twitter account. It can be a little bit more inflammatory, especially if I'm feeling particularly feisty, but I have never really gone out and said anything, you know, to the point to where I'm like, oh, that was terrible, you know, that I wouldn't stand behind. And so it's been an interesting thing in dealing with this sort of stuff. And I know that, like, one of the last things, and I'll quickly end this because I'm already over 30 minutes on this podcast, has been that I have found that sometimes facing up to those things that are online stresses and making a list of them, as dumb as this sounds, here in my studio, I've got a couple of whiteboards that I've managed to find. One has 3 months on it that I'll utilize to plan out 3 months in advance for events, work schedules, projects I have, due dates, whatever. And it's wonderful. As many electronic devices as I have, having a physical whiteboard that I can consistently erase and fill in these three blank months with and move projects around is amazing. But I have another one that I use for specifically to break down projects and to overcome problems. And so I started making this list, and I never let it get that large. And it reminds me of this other thing I do, but I'll tell you about that in a second as well, too. So there's this list I put on there, and right now I've overcome, for the most part, most of the things on there. And some of them are fairly personal, but there's a few like, okay, be more pragmatic with the art supplies you do have. Be more creative. So what I did was I basically put that down going, okay, well now I don't really work on pine board and basswood illustration boards anymore, but I've got a ton of them that I still have. So, you know, what am I going to do? Do I offer them for sale? Do I donate them? Do I create some artwork on them? Do I try and offer them up for commissions? What do I do? Is there a marketing angle I can go with this? You know, I try and be as positive and constructive and creative with that as I can be. Another example would be, you know, to remember to try and draw daily, which I have recently been failing miserably at, and I probably will end up doing some really quickly after I get done with this podcast because I need to. I really should. And then one of the other things I did, and this was kind of a weird thing, when I was at Hallmark, my friend Annette had given me this little book, and it was just out of the blue, but it was this beautiful little spiral-bound lined book for just kind of weird journaling. And when I was there, I was feeling so much stress, and I was inundated with a lot of self-negativity and loathing, just dealing with whatever was going on there. I mean, I'll be honest, when people hear that you work at Hallmark, they think it's the land of, you know, cupcakes and unicorns, and it's really not that. It's got a lot of wonderful people in it, but it's definitely a Titanic, let me tell you. And so when I was there, you know, and even when I knew that, like, the area I was working in was going to be dissolved, that we were going to be let go at some point in time. I mean, we knew the writing was on the wall. I think a lot of us were in denial, but it was coming. I had gotten this little book from her, and it was just, I forgot why she gave it to me. I think it was just because I did journal, I did write stuff as much as I did, and I was always writing stories, and so she gave me this. And so what I would do is I started writing down five things that I was happy with that day, that I celebrated that day. Now, I tried to break that mold so that I wasn't repeating myself, like, oh, I'm grateful for the sunrise, or, oh, traffic wasn't so bad. Okay, there's those things. And if I felt like I needed that extra push, I could put that in there as one of my five. But what I tried to do was, you know, like, did I smile and say hello to everybody today? Okay, that'd be number one. I did do that. When I went to lunch, did I take my sketchbook with me and sketch? Yes, I did. So I put that down as number two. Number three, did I not buy anything from the vending machine and successfully save $4.75 today, and instead I just drank water all day and made tea in my tea maker? Yes, I did. So, and those would be things I would do. And then right below that, there would be five things or less that I felt like, okay, I didn't really succeed in that. Can I try and do that down the road? And seeing those physical little lists, which didn't take long, and I didn't do it every day. I tried to, because I tried to build, you know, it's that whole adage of, like, you know, how do you build up good habits versus bad habits and all these other sorts of things. And it worked while I was at work, because I could lay things out. And that's one of the other things I'm adding to this layout that I have here in the studio. Because when I can have those sort of things, those are the things that I don't believe are time wasters as much as they are elements that will help me get over a lot of the social anxiety and the online sort of craziness that I read about. Sometimes it's not even being on social media. It's just reading a headline on Yahoo or whatever your news outlet will be that will just absolutely make you want to, you know, suffer just the worst migraine in the world instantaneously. And if you have things, coping mechanisms, I guess, that can help you get past that, or even if they're not physical things, if they're mental exercises or whatever, experiment, try stuff, you know, do different things. You know, for some people it's yoga, for some people, for me, I will tell you, one of the best damn things, and I was just reminded of, see, here's a good example. Right now on my digital screen, my digital frame, a bunch of photos from when I went to Shiloh, Tennessee, and did one of the reenactments as a Union soldier. That just popped up right now. And I realized how much, you know, I miss doing. I don't do it as much at all, if any at all anymore. And but when I was doing it, that was an amazing amount of effort and time and dedication and love for a hobby that allowed me to literally escape today, if only for a weekend or a few days, and throw myself back into 1854 or whatever year that particular battle or event happened, and live there and absorb it, and then come back feeling honestly refreshed. It's one of the reasons why I do love reenactment, both Civil War and Medieval, as much as I do, because it allows me to get away from this stuff and focus on the better aspects of those historical reenactments, and I'll lose myself. A lot of times, the only reason I'll carry my phone around, I'll actually turn off the service using the software and then just record or photograph or do things like that. But I don't check messages. I don't check email. I don't get on Twitter. I don't do anything like that. Why? Because I want to be able to invest myself as much as I can. A lot of times I even stop doing that. Unless I absolutely wanted to capture a photo or something, I just stopped doing that. And I know that whenever I did the 150th for Gettysburg, that was something where a lot of people are like, how did you manage to save the battery power on your phone? Well, you know, I did have a charger, but I also didn't access a lot of stuff out there. Number one, I'm still with T-Mobile, and they just didn't have great service out there in those mountains. But the other reason was because I wanted to stay as much in that as I possibly could. And I wanted to be able to come back and feel engrossed enough to want to do better and more things because I felt re-energized. So, anyway, this has been a weird and wandering subject because it all started with the fact that I had read some really crazy stuff on Twitter and, you know, things I didn't really agree with, and it just kind of put me in a surly mood, and I took a nap and I just didn't feel great, and then it rained, and of course now I'm feeling like, I gotta be up early in the morning, but I've got a lot of other stuff I've still got to take care of. And, you know, when you're trying to work through all those sort of things, it can feel like, and I mean this sincerely, for any of you that are listening to this, that have stuck with this particular podcast for these last 40 minutes, it can seem overwhelming. It does, and it is overwhelming. Life can come at you like a freight train, and it won't always have that light in front of it. The best things we can do are to, as I tell my students, you know, because I very, very much view life, you know, our lifetimes as a work of art. I really do. And there can be terrible art, there can be, you know, terribly made art, there can be a lot of, you know, it can be a masterpiece if you're careful with it. But regardless of how you go about it, if we really do want to make a difference in this world, the best thing we can do is approach everything as positively as possible, with as open of a heart as we can muster, and solutions will present themselves. And I also think that it makes it a lot easier for others to succeed if we're willing to make some sacrifices and willing to work with people on things. I've worked enough jobs, embarrassingly so, over the years, that I know that no job ever will be worth spending time with your family, your friends, doing those things you love. Because, man, I can still very much remember those endless summers when I would be playing my Sega CD and I was 17, 18 years old, you know, downstairs in my parents' basement, playing role-playing games. And even though I still own those very role-playing games, and my Sega CD still works, it's a different time today, and it's a different sort of thing. You know, I've got a lot more that I do, and I don't have those endless summers in the same respect. I could probably figure out something to make that work, but it's more important that I keep looking forward and don't look back as much, but instead try and embrace the good things out of it. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening to me, again, ramble on for the better part of an hour. I really do appreciate it, and I do apologize for not having had more episodes up on here. I think I needed to honestly take a break from it. I was trying to figure out how to reinvent this overall, but it was kind of like, I was like, you know what, this is a different beast than what my vlog is on YouTube, which you guys can, if you guys don't know, you can find me on YouTube. I have a channel on there, just look up The Artisan Rogue. And I've got a multitude of different things on there, from vlogs that are very much the video versions of these, to, you know, my art videos, you know, showing time lapse and other creation stuff on there, to a few other things that I've got going on there. So, again, thank you guys for listening and for the emails and comments and stuff like that, you know, that you guys sent me. And I can honestly say that stuff keeps me really inspired and in a good mood. And I know that sometimes I fall off the radar, especially when it comes to the comic shows and doing stuff, but you know, that's just kind of the ebb and flow of how I am, and I think that's something I'm beginning to accept about myself. So thanks again, guys, all of you ladies, guys, everybody, for listening. I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue, and I'll catch you guys next time.